CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is Tuesday morning, and it's just before 7 o'clock. We've got a couple of stories that we want to share with you in the news. Take your calls. You know what to do. 0861-555-189. That's the number you can call us on if you would like to message us. 0797-482090. Here's an email from Crazy Suzette in Durban. She calls herself that. I didn't give her that name. Every morning I stream your show. I've been a fan since your first days. I listened to Mike's email where Ben took him apart. Apparently Mike doesn't realize that the two of them would, if they were put in the wild, Ben would win. Ben has had more experience, what with him growing up in the wild. I have some advice for Mike. Do what I do and wash your hair when Ben's sports comment starts.
Oh.
So I'm glad we can read this today because we don't upset Ben. He's having a tough enough week with his twisted spine and everything. Maybe I'm not as crackpot crazy as you think. Brett Levy just confirmed my opinions this morning, 10-10-18. Yeah, that was when he came onto the show. About the robots taking over, although he seems to be looking forward to it, unlike me. For future reference, I would like to be acknowledged for being batshit crazy. So please call her batshit crazy Suzette.
Okay. All right?
The bottom line that I want to get through to you is, batshit crazy Suzette from Durban loves your shows, and I'm having a lager for breakfast. Peace and love, peace and love. Wow. We really do have some absolute nutcases listening to us.
Whole freaking lager.
Lager for breakfast. I mean, yeah. You get breakfast beers that you would have in Belgium, for instance.
Sure, of course, but that's because the Belgians haven't done anything productive since probably the 60s.
They get past breakfast and then sleep for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah, it's just a disaster. It's total mess. All right, lots of things to get into. Yo. Where do you want to start today, ass?
Okay, well, I've got a bit of Zuma stuff going on.
Ooh, Zuma stuff.
Firstly, you know that the bridge that we were talking about yesterday?
The one that goes to Mozambique?
Connects SA and between Cozy Bay and the capital, Maputo.
But of course.
Mm-hmm. There are calls for it to be called the Zuma Bridge.
Oh, what? No.
So even though it was built by a Chinese company, BLF, The Black First Land First, even though it was built by a Chinese company, the Black First Land First are now saying, no, Zuma should take all of the credit.
Yeah, but
it
I mean,
his idea.
Please, this is Andile Mritama, you know, please, just fuck him.
So they're really, like, I mean, call it the Zuma Bridge. They've released a statement.
800 and 700.
All right, we get the
So
idea.
A little more about Zuma. Barbara Hogan is currently
she's sunk
at
his
the state
case.
Capture inquiry.
This Barbara Hogan's a very brave woman, you know. If you haven't looked her up, you have to see what kind of torture she went through during the apartheid era. She really worked very hard in the struggle. She's got great struggle credentials. She was with Ahmed Kathrada up to his death. Hmm. They were together. Barbara Hogan, for a while, was the Minister of Education in Gauteng.
Public Enterprises.
She's a really, really good, solid stalwart in the ANC. And she apparently gave some testimony yesterday, correct me if I'm wrong, that sunk former President Jacob Zuma's case.
She says he instructed her to withhold certain matters relating to state-owned enterprises from cabinet. She says he stopped things from going to cabinet during her tenure as public enterprises minister between 2009 and 10. The president would phone her and say, I hear this. Can we talk about this?
Oh, yeah.
And then she would be called in and he would say,
See, she's just fearless. She's already been through everything. So sure. She's completely fearless. She's not scared of him. What a creep.
She says she believed the president had no authority to hand down instructions on who to appoint as CEO or who to appoint on the board of a state-owned enterprise. She based this on two legal opinions that were obtained when she joined the ministry. However, he went on and did so.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then something that we neglected to mention yesterday was Cyril Ramaphosa, who's been traveling the country. He was in East London on Sunday as part of his Tumamina campaign. and you think of him, he's had to sit at Zuma's side for so long, watching him do what he's doing. And he can now finally say, Jacob Zuma is to blame for South Africa's woes.
Oh, did he say that?
That's what he said.
Wow, that's quite
a
biggie,
huh?
He has
blamed the 10 years of Jacob Zuma's tenure for the troubles the country is facing. He cited high levels of unemployment and corruption as key issues his government is needing to address with speed.
Hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
His words were greeted with loud applause. He was addressing hundreds of ANC supporters.
Right.
Yeah. And then on that, I just like
good
the way...
Good for Cyril, eventually finding his voice in all of this.
I just like the way that this was summarized. It was an article on why the removal of the tax boss is key to Ramaphosa's chances of success.
Okay.
So if you think about it, Ramaphosa's changed the country's political landscape significantly.
Sure.
Since he came into power in 2018. And this just summarizes it. It's all part of his position to carry out his renewal agenda. Mm-hmm. Immediately after his inauguration, he replaced 10 cabinet ministers, you'll remember. Mm-hmm. He also moved those closely allied to Jacob Zuma. He since then has moved to fix the leadership of the criminal justice systems institutions like the NPA, which were weakened under Zuma.
Right.
In addition, Zuma acolytes have lost their positions at the helm of parastatals, which, according to Pravin Gordhan, were repurposed to benefit a few under Zuma. And obviously his latest, sacking Tom Moyane as the head of SARS, is the most significant.
That guy has to go. I mean, Tom Moyane is just such bad news. So he has resigned, but now he's taking Cyril to court over his job being lost. Or he's been fired. I can't remember which it is. Who cares? He's just got to go.
He's one of the last vestiges of Zuma's continued influence.
A lot of Zuma news for us today, huh?
Yeah, there was a lot of Zuma, but that's all about Zuma.
Here are some juicy court proceedings and estate news that's going on right now. We've heard about this already yesterday afternoon. The story of Amor Vittoni.
What's happened with Amor? What a disaster. Is this in the US, the wake of the US thing?
Yes.
That's still going on?
I'm actually annoyed on her behalf on this one.
Oh, poor woman.
Now, the Funda Vestes and family applied to court.
Yeah.
Still, currently, there was a whole shebang happening, and the family wanted his 2015 will accepted to replace the joint will that originally the court was using, that included both him and Amor, and that was both supervised by the both of them. But now the family has progressed, and they are now using the 2015 will that Joost wrote on his own, which means Amor Vittoni will only inherit a TV set from her late husband's estate.
That seems unkind.
Shucks.
And that sounded a little bit hectic.
I mean...
So who's paying for the kids? I mean, who's getting that money? If Amor doesn't get it, does it go straight to the children?
Because
if it goes to the rest of Joost's family, I mean, really, what have they got to do with
it? Yeah, that would be lower than ever. Oof. But yes, according to this 2015 will and its terms and conditions, the estate will be divided by the J9 Trust, and the only two people who are listed as beneficiaries are his two minor children.
All right.
But I also don't like the fact, who's the J9 Trust and who looks after that?
Cunty.
I'm sorry, Joost. 2015, I was wiping your drool. I was cleaning you up.
Who knows what was really going on. But I just...
I had to put up with so much and I only get a TV set?
Yeah, I should get... And who
and
wants...
I mean, TVs, who's really using them? Buying new ones.
Let me tell you something. No one wants a TV. No one.
It's like...
You've got a laptop.
Everyone on the Ellen Show gets one.
They're trying to give them away. It's not even a new TV because it's an old US TV. It's probably from the 90s. It's probably one of those cathode ray tubes. You know the ones, the big back?
Yeah, the one that was sitting in the granny cottage, probably.
It's not a flat screen.
That we were watching, you know, the World Cup on.
Plasma.
No sound, surround sound system.
LCD. It's one of those old, big, heavy cathode ray tubes. Shame. Poor Amor.
This entire family has been through a lot now.
Listen, can we all just stop bickering once someone dies about their stuff? Whether it's HP's family or it's Joost's family or it's so undignified. Mandela's family.
Yeah.
The whole lot of them. There's no dignity. Just for God's sake.
Too late now.
It seems that the only people who don't respect the dead are their own families. Everyone else is expected to be respectful.
Mm.
Outrageous.
Well, too late, according to this next story as well. I feel like it's a movie plot waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And it's all based in Lelouchia, of all places.
What?
Lelouchia in Durban. It's all based there.
That's a quite expensive neighborhood.
Very fancy. Oh,
so
very
fancy. Where is that? Between Umhlanga and Durban North.
Yes, like Bonito, yeah, that whole area. Picture this, 92-year-old Charlotte Davis living in her upmarket suburban home.
Yes, I know Charlotte. What about her?
Do you know her?
Tell me more. What have you heard about Charlotte? I'll refute this if it's not true. She's a good friend.
Charlotte's husband was a diamond dealer in Johannesburg who died years ago. So there Charlotte was for, you know, living up to 92 years old, just adorned in riches galore with an estimated net worth of 60 million South African rand.
Okay.
But Charlotte had a bit of a quirk to her.
Well, go on.
She was a bit of a recluse, living alone in her mansion, didn't like a lot of human connection. And the one person she really forged a bit of a relationship with was her gardener, Sabelo Mdlovu.
Ooh. Was she and Sabelo humpity-humping?
No humpity-humping, but for more than 10 years, Charlotte would probably just stand in her robe, her silk robe, and clutching her pearls and wave at Sabelo in the gardens.
And Sabelo?
Sabelo.
Sabelo.
Charlotte had no kids, no living relatives in South Africa, and Charlotte, unfortunately, has recently died.
Oh.
And
I didn't know that. I better go around.
Oh yeah, your friend
you're a
Charlotte.
Bad friend.
Shame, man. This now left the 60 million rand net worth all up in the air.
Oh.
Thinking, well, who does it go to?
Sabelo.
You would think that. And there was a will that was released. And which was very odd because 58 point something rands were all of a sudden given to the neighbor. This is the Pele family who lived next door, headed by the patriarch of the family, Aldine Pele. And only 600,000 rands was left to Sabelo.
Well, that's not a bad payday.
Yeah, I'd take that.
That's a hell of a lot better than working the garden. I mean,
it wasn't a bad payday up until now. Investigation was done on this Davis estate, and it has been discovered that Aldine Pele, the family living next door, actually forged a will and a fake signature from Charlotte Davis to send all of her money to the...
I'm very confused. Who are all these people? Who's the Pele woman?
They live next door.
Pele family live next door. Charlotte Davis did. Pele family actually forged an incorrect
will. You call her Charlotte? No, I knew her as Charlotte. That's why I was confused. So hang on. What do the Pele people get?
Pele family all faked this. They get nothing, but they took a will that didn't even exist.
Oh, they forged the will.
They forged a will saying 58 point something million will go to them and only 600,000.
I know the Pele woman. What's her name?
Adeline Pele.
How dare you? You've been lying for a long time. You know, so she once left her rubbish out for an extra hour.
So like Adeline, right?
So she just prints one online and one from offline.
Faked the signature of Davis.
So she can get the old lady's money. So is Sabelo going to get any more?
Actually, so it's now seeing the light of day in court. And it's according to... And the investigations are still underway. But according to conversations, people know that Charlotte Davis has had previously, all of her estate is meant to go to Sabelo. So my goodness, Sabelo, what a payday for you. From, you know, just manning the lawns to now being in charge of a 60 million rands estate.
So Sabelo is going to be, I mean, he'd be the richest gardener in Durban by a long way.
Jeez, this is your day.
Wow, that's amazing.
Charlotte Davis, in conversation as well, and they're still tracking these documents, has also left money to Sabelo's children.
Wow.
So that they...
So she wasn't stumping him. They were just good friends.
Yeah. Because, like, her only friend at this point, at that point as well.
Good for... He saw this lonely old lady, and he took the trouble to be nice to her and look after her house and her garden and be her friend. And look, it's paid off for him. Good for him. I'm very, very pleased. Sometimes there are happy endings. And obviously, I mean, we're all sad about Charlotte, all seven of us who were her friends.
Oh, you were
I thought she was going to leave me some, but there we go.
You aren't getting anything.
Sabelo. I remember Sabelo, yeah.
Maybe you'll get a TV.
According, yeah, supposedly the 600,000 rand.
I'll get an old cathode ray tube TV.
Supposedly the 600,000 rand was actually just only meant to be devoted to Sabelo's kids, and Sabelo was meant to get everything else.
Okay.
As opposed to what the dodgy Pele family next door have done. But if you Google
They're crooked, huh?
Yeah, if you Google images of Charlotte Davis and her house, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous property. It's one of these new modern houses.
Because I can't remember, it's been a long time since
you've been there.
Okay, it's not so nice.
Oh, but...
As I recall it, it looks better inside than out.
From Sabelo manning these lawns to getting this house as well?
Good for Sabelo. What's up there, Nolo?
This story reminds me of Bernie. Have you guys seen Bernie, played by Jack Black?
Bernie?
No.
The storyline is almost the same.
Tell me more.
So he is a funeral director, as they like to call himself. But he doesn't own, you know, the funeral parlor.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does is this rich man dies and he buries him and starts looking after the widow. And they form this really unhealthy relationship where because she doesn't have any friends. It's shot like documentary style. So
so he's after her money?
Yeah, it goes... No, not really, though. He has such a good heart. But Ugogo starts owning him. And he doesn't want him to... She doesn't want him to have any friends, any activities. If he tries to leave because he's feeling abused, she locks the gates and she tells him he's not leaving. But at the end of it, she dies and leaves everything to him. And she's filthy rich.
I reckon there's nothing wrong with befriending an old widow who has a big fortune in order to get at that fortune. If you're going to spend, let's say like Sabelo, 10 years looking after this old biddy, yeah, probably driving her around, saying nice things to her every morning to make her feel better. I mean, what's wrong with that? She's willing to pay for that.
Having she to wants indulge companionship. Her in conversation sure. about the weather.
Yeah, she wants to have a good time. She wants to have someone to talk to. I mean, nobody really... She said, you told me there's no family, there are no relatives, there are no children. Sabelo was the closest thing she had to a friend. And he deserves that money. I think it's that's good.
Yeah, who else is it going to go to?
What a nice story. This He's happened right here in South Africa.
No, look, I just researched this Bernie document or movie that you spoke about. Do you know that it's actually based on a real life incident?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And this Bernie actually ended up killing the widow afterwards to get money.
He snapped.
Well, I've just I just got a message from a Moor. She says she can't believe that Sabelo got more from Charlotte than she got from Joost.
Goodness me.
I got a picture from Quentin. He sent me a picture of an old TV, one of those old cathode ray tube TVs, and said this is probably the kind of TV that a Moor got out of the Joost estate.
It sucks.
I know. Really, that's a sad situation.
Well, trying to be objective in the situation, as long as the kids are covered, and, you know, in all of these high-profile cases when they say, oh, child support of X amount will be given to the children, I think it's only fair that whoever's looking after the kids also get something. Am I being unrealistic with this?
There's only so much to go around, Sia. I mean, she got a TV, you know? Sometimes you got to count your blessings.
But I mean,
I don't know so much.
No.
Quite shocking.
Oh, come on.
Like, wait, is Amor in this case, for example, allowed to dip into money for petrol?
No.
Her children. Kids' money for...
She's got to earn her own money.
See, that's my thing, though. Who's driving the kids around to the horse riding lessons? I have
The J9 Foundation.
Then there must... Oh, I nearly said something. Never mind. Mm-hmm. We must wheel them around in US wheelchair.
Oy.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm
what
sorry.
What a cruel thing. What a cruel thing to say.
Nah, I think the family's cruel.
J9 Foundation. Mm-mm. Obviously going to help. All right. So listen, that's a terrific story. The Charlotte story. Of course, everybody in Durban knew her well. That's really nice.
When last did you see her?
About 4 years ago.
Okay.
Went there for tea and, you know, her and Sabella and I.
If you'd paid more attention, you could have been.
I could have got, yeah, some of that 60 mil.
Stinking rich.
But, you know, Sabello deserves it.
He deserves it more.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, there's a good story. As you've got to tell us about this fainting dance. What is this thing?
Have you heard about it, Sia?
I see hashtags of this on social media. What is it?
It is so stupid.
All right. Go on.
It is so stupid. But now there are warnings from authorities. Okay. So basically, it was inspired by King Monada's song called Malwede. He's a Limpopo based or born in Limpopo, an artist, right?
Yes.
And his song is called Malwede, and they're calling the action that they do Idibala.
Yeah, which is like Idibala challenge.
Yes.
Oh, I saw this. I actually retweeted this. This was on it was on Twitter, and all those guys fall down on the ground, right?
Yes.
So now the challenge has spread. This is the song in the background.
Wow, these guys are dancing up a storm and then they fall down on the ground. It's great.
So apparently in the music video for the song, there isn't a fainting dance that's featured in it. It just kind of happened. So Malwede means illness or sickness in the Bolobedu district or dialect rather of the Sepedi language. Mm-hmm. So the dance sees fans falling to the ground at the chorus and words, correct me if I'm wrong, Kenale Bolwede Bao Idibala.
Yeah.
I have an illness of fainting.
Oh.
So it's raised concern about its potential to cause injuries.
Oh, come on.
There was this whole thing, this fake news thing. Limpopo government buys 200 ambulances to prepare for Monada's Idibala fans' injuries.
Oh, no.
But the Road Traffic Management Corporation has sent out an official warning because some people have been doing it while they've been driving. They've also got kids doing it on busy roads as traffic's going by. Paramedics are now doing the whole thing as well, and they just don't know if it's really tasteful. But
oh, come on.
It's too late because
It's a craze. People love it.
It's now infected Nigeria, Kenya.
Infected. I mean, this is a terrible word to use. I mean, people are having fun.
Kenya, Nigeria, that clip that you had there was from Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's hit China.
Great.
So there's a clip of these kids in a Chinese primary school where they all do it at their desks.
There's nothing.
And they're giggling like crazy.
Nothing wrong with that.
I just don't. So I've heard, and I don't know how accurate this is because I don't understand the language. The direct translation being, I have an illness of fainting, is around the context of the song being a person talking to someone who they're in a relationship with, saying, if you leave me, I'll faint. I can't live without you. I love you so
much. If you leave me now.
Exactly.
I love you so much. All I can do, I can't even control myself. I faint. So that's where the bit of the dance comes from. But I think this is all good and well, even though I think it's a ridiculous and stupid dance. It's all good and well up until someone at a Shabin, someone on a Friday night, as they're all drinking, decide this is a good idea, then this is just going to...
I just wouldn't be able to get back up again.
Hi, this is not Munada.
I will faint now. Telling it.
It's
so that's the inspiration.
Watch me fall to the ground.
Someone already, there's one video of someone who tried to do the dance as they're in a kitchen, and there are two pots on the stove and they're boiling. There's boiling water and there's boiling something in there, and he does the dance. He flips on over onto the floor, And in the process, one of his limbs knocks one of the pots over, and he gets burned. So wow. It just shows, like, come on, folks.
Holy shit.
This is natural selection, though. Anyone who gets injured in this process, I don't think is meant to see, like,
all right. Well,
2025.
That's fantastic.
Why do this?
No, it's fun. It's great. Please, let's not look for trouble where there isn't trouble. People want to have a dance, let them have a dance. There's no danger there. It's all good. Hey, I saw the university vice chancellor's salaries for 2017, so last year.
Are these South African?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything near 60 mil?
Oh, listen, we've got some pretty high salaries here. So Cheryl Delaray of Pretoria University gets 3.7 million rand a year.
Okay.
Ooh.
Mandla Makanya from the University of South Africa gets 3.7 also. 3.9 for Professor Iron Rensburg. He's at the University of Johannesburg. Adam Habib gets 4 million rand a year.
Whoa.
To be the chancellor.
You'd have to pay me this to work, to do their jobs.
It's horrible. You know? Yeah. Professor Peter Mbati from the University of Venda gets 4.2 million rand. The University of Venda. Remember, we've just had the Venda Building Society. Venda just seems to be a hive of massive amounts of money being transferred from X to Y to Z. And he gets 16 million rand in benefits.
Jeez.
And Prof Wim de Villiers of Stellenbosch University gets 4.5 million rand, including 330,000 rand's bonus.
That's a nice bonus.
Yeah, it's a nice bonus, huh? That's more than a more as well.
Yes.
Is that a hashtag? More than a more received.
Also
my mother
rhymes.
Gave me pocket money more than a more received. It's bad.
Shame. We've got to get her in here. Because now I'm sure that everything's been resolved. She can talk and she loves to come and hang with us. Mm. So maybe it's time to catch up with her more. Will you put her on the roster, please, CS?
She's
keen. Yeah.
Chris Murling.
Prince Mango Sutubutelezi. I'll give you his details later.
But you know what? When you're dealing with kids, is that really too much money?
What?
What the chancellors are earning.
Oh, hell. Listen, I wouldn't want to run a university in this country. They're all a disaster, all of them. They can say what they like. I'm telling you now, all these kids coming out of there with degrees, what are they going to do? None of them can get jobs. It's a joke.
Mm.
If Prof Habib earns 4 million a year, that's roughly 300 and something thousand per month.
That's a lot of money.
And you factor in the headache of being on campus, the issues that get raised.
Listen, Adam Habib has had a tough time. I mean, all of these university vice chancellors, they have to deal with kids who, they don't want you to just be the administrator of a university that gives them interesting degree courses and possible future employment.
Mm.
You know, high-level tertiary education. You also want a daddy and a mommy, and there has to be an office for you to get. You have to be accommodated in some hostel. I mean, it's just very difficult. It's a mess.
It reminds me of this story that was popular last week of this American teacher who beat up one of his students.
Yeah?
Did you hear that?
No.
Well, this man in... His name is Marston Riley. He's a music teacher at a high school in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly in his music lessons, all of the students are meant to wear a particular uniform. And one of his students came in on this particular day without his uniform. And Marston just started off saying, "Excuse me, please leave the class because you're not dressed accordingly." What then transpired was the student standing up going, "You can't tell me what to do." Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And there's actually video footage of this.
I would have beaten them up.
And this is what I find odd. They're both black.
That's why I'm not a teacher.
See, they're both.
Oh, so the teacher's black and the student's
black. But the student was calling the teacher the N-word.
Okay.
Boy, you need an education on.
Boy, you need a smack.
What that means.
Your mom's going to smack the black of your ass.
So right. Marston only took this for a couple of seconds, just continuing to say, "Leave the class, leave the class." Student continued on calling him the N-word, and then Marston was like, "Ain't nobody got time for this," and just went in with punches.
You can blame him.
Yeah, there's video of this, and he was suspended instantly. But now, actually, what I love is there are certain community members who are saying, "Can we really blame him, though?" And they've started funding for him. They've raised $76,000 for the teacher.
I'll bet you it's a load of parents in the black community who they're giving money because they're like, this child is undisciplined. This is not a representative of our kind of culture. And I'll bet you it's a whole lot of like moms, angry moms. You know, you don't want to mess with an angry black mom. And
no.
They're probably, we're going to get a whole bunch of money. We're going to help this man out.
Come on, teachers deal with a lot. So the teacher was arrested and the community paid for his bail. And right now the community has raised this money for his legal fees, fighting for him, saying, come on, guys, like this kid was rude. And previously, I think like a few months ago, the teacher Marston was beat up by three pupils. And he didn't retaliate because he felt like, as a teacher, I can't do anything. So this is, I think...
You have to be so brave to be a teacher now. First of all, there's this Me Too crap going on. So if you're a teacher and you... And I mean, there are bad teachers, don't get me wrong. But if you're a teacher, you have to take your... Every move has to be considered 1,000 times because there's going to be some student who feels that you owe them something or, you know, that something's inappropriate. Because... You know, if you can have power over a teacher as a student, you're going to take that chance every opportunity you get.
Sure.
I wouldn't want to be
I grew
a
up in a bit of a rough neighborhood.
It was very rough. You were in a gang.
And
at 8 years old.
At our sister school.
What was your chant that kids. You used to sing when you would beat the other girls
we
up?
We walk straight.
Yeah.
If you better get out the way. If you don't get out the way, we'll kick you out the way.
Yeah, and these bitches used to parade down the corridors.
But at our sister school, there were so many reports of pupils climbing into the teachers, beating them up.
Wow. This is in the south of Joburg.
Yeah, throwing chairs at them and all sorts of things. It happened, man.
Yeah, you'd have to pay me $4 million a year to deal with kids. You would have to. And now kids are more aware of their rights. They know what to say. They know what you can't make them say.
Parents are more involved. I mean, at my school... When I was at school, my mom just let the teachers do what they wanted. You know, smack her if she's naughty.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
my parents
and I wouldn't even tell my mom because then I'd get into trouble twice.
If I got because we used to get hidings at school from the headmaster.
Yeah,
and if my parents found out that the headmaster had hit me, they would have been even more angry with me.
Yes,
they wouldn't have taken my side against the headmaster.
I would never tell them. I would just accept the punishment.
Jesus, no, my parents would have been. I'll hit you as well.
Two different generations.
Definitely.
Oh, no. For sure.
I'm part of the bratty generation who would look at the thermometer and say, excuse me, no. They say, it's almost 40 degrees. We can't learn right now. It's like a bit of a heat wave. Mm. Getting a rush to my head.
They would have smashed my head into the desk.
Yeah, I had a Bible thrown at me by one of the teachers during religious education.
Can I play you something? You know, we talked about Armistice Day and the end of World War I on Monday. We were going through, like, you know, the history of it and all the rest, and you can listen to that podcast from yesterday. But I found a recording, which is very eerie. So this recording was created using sound ranging, which recorded the intensity of noise to photographic film. The visual record allowed the Imperial War Museum to turn the moment back into audio to give an impression of what it was like. This is the moment of the end of World War I.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear shelling, and then it'll stop. And it's just so eerie because you hear birds come in at the end.
Mm.
And the birds are obviously silent during the shelling, but listen to this. This is a minute before the end of World War I. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, my word. Oof, huh? Goosebumps.
Isn't that scary? 100 years ago. Imagine being the person who either got killed by that last bullet. fired. I mean, what a waste of a life to have made it through the war and in that last minute to be killed. Imagine being that guy, or imagine being the person who fired the last bullet.
Yeah.
Hmm?
It's kind of, it sounds like when you put popcorn in the microwave, and the popping kind of dies out towards the end.
Right.
And then there's these one or two last bursts. But to have that in your ears for so many weeks, months, no. Terrible.
Do you know what I was thinking about over the weekend with celebrations was how informed we are today in society. If news breaks, we see it on our timelines, we hear about it on the news, we read it on various blogs. Back then, you did not know anything. Imagine the paranoia that you used to have, or you didn't, and you hear that last bullet or that gunshot, and you didn't know it was the last one, and you still lived in fear.
Well, the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress disorder, the shell shock, which is what they used to call it, that you suffered after that for many years. I mean, this is why so many men who came out of World War I, who managed to live through it, and in World War II, obviously, afterwards, in fact, any major human conflict, there wasn't therapy available to those guys in those days. They just had
You were men. You just got over it.
Yeah, you just had to get back to work and carry on. I mean, if you cried when no one was looking, or if you got aggressive with people and you didn't know why, I mean, nobody understood these things. Now we realize it's a major thing, right?
Mm.
And we realize there are treatments available, and those guys just had to get on with it.
Yeah, a lot of them would just turn to drinking.
Yeah. Mm. Get abusive, maybe.
Mm.
You know, it was, and some of them wouldn't ever talk about the war. Like, I remember,
just live with those nightmares.
Yeah, there were old men that I was interested, obviously, in their experiences of the war, and I would ask them questions, and some of them would not talk about it. They just did not want to go back there. They had no reason to share their stories. Historical and powerful and meaningful and significant as they are, didn't want to talk about it. Just hurt too much. Wouldn't bring it up. Wouldn't discuss it. So,
geez, a bird just chirped, and now
bird just chirped. Now you feel like you're at the end of World War I. Well, listen,
no,
this is
really makes me grateful.
But this is why you got now. Yes, be grateful for living now. You know, a lot of people think the world is shit and horrible stuff happening every day, and there is obviously there's a lot going on that we have to be aware of and cognizant of and take stock of, but man, to live now is you're the luckiest person in your family history to be alive now. The luckiest by a mile. There's no ancestor of yours, no matter how rich and powerful and well placed and lucky. Not one ancestor of yours who has a better life than what you've got now. Not one.
Hmm.
You think about it that way, you're the beneficiary of thousands of years of human suffering, and development, and climbing out of the goddamn trees. Really?
Yes, there was that too.
Really? We've come a long way. Pat yourself on the back. All right. We've got a couple of things to talk about today. Pierre Casuto is the creator of the House of Cronies game. Nolo, do you want to bring him in? Let's sit down and have a chat to Pierre. He created a new and hilarious project. It's based on the TV series Czar News and Puppet Nation, which his father, Thierry, had a lot to do with. He was the original creator of those series. It's produced by the Both Worlds team that brought multi-award-winning Czar News to the South African screens. That's zanews.co.za. The game of political influence, tactics, and yes, even corruption lets ordinary South Africans pull some political strings as they vie to fill their cabinets, secure the most votes, and ultimately win the game.
We get a chance.
You get a chance
feel
to
what
play.
It's like.
Yeah.
The House of Cronies.
That's
I've got
right.
a feeling you would win this game against whoever you were playing against.
I hope not, because it probably means I'm corrupt. I don't know if I'd want to be.
Is that the feeling
winner.
You have, Leanne?
I don't know. So let's get to meet Pierre and see what this game is all about. I love a good game. And if you're looking for something fun to do, hey, Pierre, how are you, man?
Hi, good morning.
Good, grab a seat. Come and sit down. Is this the game?
That's the game.
Is it available? Is it released already?
It's available.
Nice, man.
And in store, in a few stores.
Very good. Ooh. Well, listen, welcome.
Thanks
Very
for
nice
having
to
me.
Have you here. Yeah, pleasure. So tell me what the inspiration here is. And first of all, congratulations. People love a new game. That you could be Cyril. There's Musi Maimane. They're all the puppets from Zanews. Except it says you pull the strings.
That's right.
Right. Now, your dad, Thierry, a terrific, talented man, such a genius. He started this show. He is a master. He's an artist. He's also a guy who has a great understanding and depth of understanding for comedy. I mean, he's added huge value to South African society. And mocking politicians is one of the best things you can spend your time doing, right?
Just about.
It is. So tell me how this all came to be.
So I've been involved with Puppet Nation and ZANU since 2009.
Yes.
I was working in France at the time, and my dad, Thierry, gave me a call and said, hey, we're about to start this show, but I need 20 kilograms of latex, and I can only get them in France. Can you jump on a flight tonight and bring that latex to me?
Huh.
So jumped onto a flight.
What did people think you were doing with all that latex?
What kind of sex show is this?
They must have thought it was filthy. Something revolting was going on.
We had to explain it quite a bit, and had to explain, you know, that's probably the most fun you can have with latex from this point forward.
So, I mean, the show has obviously become a part of South Africa, and a lot of people are aware of it. A lot of people watch the episodes online, and they have from time to time when the TV networks have been brave enough actually put stuff on TV. But this is a new evolution of the game.
That's right.
Or of the puppets. It's a chance for you to play House of Cronies. So how does it work?
So the game actually asks you to put yourself in the shoes of people that run different parties and to build your own party. So you don't have to deal with factions. You don't have to deal with ANC, DA, EFF. The idea is you're building your own party. You're building your own coalition, and you're looking to win the elections.
Yeah.
Now, you can recruit politicians to your party, and you, the player, you get to decide whether you're going to do it above board with influence, or whether you're going to use corruption instead to recruit them to your party.
Okay, so, I mean, for example, if Leanne wanted to use corruption, then would she have to use certain characters?
So, not characters. I mean, the characters are all, you know, they're born pure. All the characters are born pure.
So they're not evil people.
So you, the player, decide who you're going to buy with corruption, and how you're going to use corruption, how you're going to use influence, and what dirty tricks you're going to play. So if you want to make Hladi Motsoeneng president, for example, that's up to you.
Oh.
If you want to make Kanye Mbao your finance minister as well, you can do that.
That's great.
Like for me, the strategy I would use would be the goody-goody. Players using this strategy will typically avoid picking up corruption cards and choose to use their tactics towards defensive ends. That's the type of person I am more like.
And there are corruption cards, huh?
That's right. So corruption cards might be things like an SOE tender, a Dubai trip, a tax rebate.
Well, you've got all kinds of characters here. You've got Oscar Pistorius, Trevor Noah, Kanye Mbao, Hashim Amla, Hlanhla Nene, John Steenhuisen. I mean, this is incredible.
So we've got your kind of South African politics all-stars, especially the ones leading up to the upcoming elections.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple of celebrities that come as kind of wild cards and that can go into specific positions. And then we've got foreign allies. So you can go and ally with the Chinese, with the Russians, with the Americans, and each give you special ways of playing and special powers.
How do you win the game?
You win the game by winning the election. The election takes place when there's no cards left, and whoever has the most votes in the cabinet at that point forward wins.
All right, so I see there are also there's finance, foreign ally, president. How do these work?
So you've got cards. Every player's got seven positions to fill, cabinet position, president and vice president, and anyone can be president or vice president because you don't really need qualifications for that.
So you make Trevor Noah president if you want to.
Exactly. Oh. You can make Trevor Noah.
You cannot make Trump president if you wanted to.
Yes, that's very good.
But you can pick him as your foreign ally, which you know, he's a very powerful character and gives you a lot of benefits as a foreign ally.
Yeah, in fact, Trump's special power is that your cabinet members with negative votes count as positive votes instead. So it basically inverts everything.
That's right.
It's amazing.
And so you've got to fill those six positions. You've got specialist position, finance, justice, comms and service delivery. And you need people with specific abilities to fill those. So each card is a little label that says where they can go. Or you've got these two wild card positions called president and vice president, where anyone can go in those positions. And then you've got an optional foreign ally. And the foreign ally doesn't earn you any votes, but they give you a special power and they like influence how you play the game. So if you have, for example, Xi Jinping as your foreign ally, you can't be outbid. He gives you almost endless supplies of money. If you have Vladimir Putin, you magically get 3 extra votes at the end of the game. You don't know why.
Ah, that's very interesting. So you've based this on fact, on our current realities in the world.
Well, we've heard from a couple of politicians that played it that this looks awfully like a simulation, according to them.
Yeah, well, I would imagine this is going to be played in government dinner party situations all the time, right? I mean, they're going to love this because they're the characters.
I'd love to see a live footage of Parliament one day where the camera pans to the side and you can see guys playing it on, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of Malusi Gigaba being on his phone playing Candy Crush.
Or falling asleep.
Or showing his cock to everyone.
That's definitely more social.
More socially accepted.
You're a very talented family, huh?
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, your dad is a genius. You've got this game. You've been doing a whole lot of other stuff, too. I met your brother in Cape Town when I was there a couple of months ago. He's doing amazing stuff. Isn't he back in Paris now?
Yes, he's just moved back to Paris. That's right. Yeah. So he's in Paris right now. He's going to come back for the Mets in February, and then he's going to go back there after that.
That's amazing. And how's your dad doing? I mean, what's he up to at the moment? He's still producing the show?
Well, trying to get the show back on TV or online.
People are not very brave.
That's one of the challenges here.
It's a big problem, right?
And yet we've seen that audiences love the show.
Yes.
We've seen they rally behind it. They share it. They watch it. You know, when we produced our latest batch of content, we produced some skits with Nando's. Nando's sponsored 13 standalone episodes that we did that were kind of short episodes. We did a five-part parody of Game of Thrones. We did some musical numbers. We did a parody of House of Cards that was probably our most polished piece ever in terms of production.
I haven't seen that. I must take a look.
And Nando's sponsored that for 13 episodes, and we had massive numbers. Our shows got between 500,000 and 1,000,000 view each for
That's
each of those
amazing.
Episodes.
Wow.
So with no promotion, no media spend behind it, just the kind of organic reach and the people sharing it.
Well, it's also very good for Nando's because they can be front and center, and they often are with the relevant stuff, the funny stuff that makes people think, that people go, wow, that's incredible. It's so quick. Which puppets have you been able to retire recently? Is there still use for the Deborah Patter puppet?
Oh, well, as soon as we come back on air, she'll be back. You know, her and Justice host the show together.
Are there any you've melted down and thrown out?
There are a couple of old puppets we've repurposed. So we don't throw them or melt them, but we do a little bit of plastic surgery sometimes. We convert
and turn them into extras or whatever.
That's right. Okay. Generics, we call them, yes.
Shame. I mean, some of these puppets are so ugly. Really, the two ugliest ones of all are Helen Ziller and Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. My God, if those puppets came around the corner on a dark night, I would not be able to control
Something
my bowels.
Something about the cheekbone forehead ratio.
Is my puppet still there?
It's still there. Yes, absolutely.
Really, you find use for that?
Well, sometimes, yes, absolutely. You know, when you come up in the news.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to be doing that if I could possibly help it from now on.
So, believe it or not, you were in the first iteration of the game. We had a card for you.
What happened there?
Well,
Trevor Noah pipped me to the post, did he?
The Guptas became really famous.
What was Gareth's special power?
I'm actually relieved. I do not want to be in the same deck of cards as Oscar Pistorius and Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, what would your superpower be?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think there is one.
I'll send it to you. I'll send you the picture online of your previous.
Let me see that. That'll be funny. So, all right, this is available where? Where can we buy this game? Because people, the holidays are coming up. You're going to have to spend time with family that you don't necessarily like. Maybe this is a great way to play. You can roll them into a cabinet that you don't want, you know?
So it's a great game for the holiday season. If you want your teenagers and kids not to be on the phones playing Candy Crush, like you were saying earlier,
correct.
But rather playing politics around the dinner table, this is the best way to do it. You can get it in a few stores. It's busy rolling out nationally, but only a few stores have it now. You can get it at the big exclusive books around Cape Town and Johannesburg.
Okay, very good.
You can get it at Scoobs in Monte Cassino. You can get it at... We're trying to get it into CNA. But
apparently it's also available on takealot.com.
It's available on Takealot. And it's available on our website on houseofcronies.co.za.
Houseofcronies.co.za. Type that into your browser. Go and have a look and you can buy the game. It's very, very cool. It's fantastic. I hope you guys do so well.
Thank you very much.
I love it. An authentic South African game.
What
we are
awesome
the best
idea.
At playing. Are the Guptas in here?
Of course.
Yeah, so they're card.
They're willing and eager to take over your finance or your justice.
All the Guptas on one card.
They're all on one card.
Oh, that's great. The Guptas.
I'm sure one of the harder aspects of creating this game was getting Trump's hair right with his puppets as well, because right now...
Where did you find hair to... I mean, how does your dad put that Trump puppet together? That's a hideous thing to make.
With gloves. With gloves on.
No, of course.
I wouldn't even call it a Trump double chin at this point. It's more like a quadruple hanging chin as well that Trump has.
The Helen Ziller's so ugly. It's so... And Steve Hoffmeyer.
There's a Steve Hoffmeyer
There's a Steve Hoffmeyer, yeah. Claudie Motsweneng. I mean, it's just amazing. Robert Mugabe, the Guptas.
There you go.
Looking like they're about to replace the Manhattans as a singing group there.
That's great. All right, if you want to know more, go to houseofcronies.co.za and order the game for your whole family to play this Christmas. It'll be fun. It'll get everybody laughing and joking with each other and taking everything a little less seriously, which is good.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Pierre.
Thank you for having me.
Very nice to see you. All right, there we go. That's Pierre Casuto. And you can go and check out houseofcronies.co.za for more. In a little while, we'll find out about a man who swims with sharks. I kid you not, this is what he does for fun. And we'll take your calls on 0861-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555-555
No one noticed. It's fine.
Let's not talk about it, all right?
Yeah. CliffCentral.com.